This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and this morning I'm joined by Representative Barry Crago from Cheyenne. Hello, Barry, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Kate. Good, pleasure to be with you.
Good morning, and thank you, and I really appreciate you taking some time to visit with us. The session that's in hand right now is just a short one. It's a 20-day session, and the focus is very much on budget. So I would imagine that you guys are off to a fairly brisk start. And one of the main things on your agenda is to provide some property tax relief. And you yourself have a bill in progress. And I wondered if you would please just give us an overview and an update of how things have been progressing in the first week.
You bet. As you mentioned, it's a budget session. And so any bill that's not the budget bill has to survive a two-thirds vote at the very beginning, called an introduction vote, to even start through the process. And so that was what this whole first week was doing introductory votes and also doing the first reading on the budget, which we finished up last night. I think we got out of here on Friday night about 8 o'clock. And so that was our first week. There lots of tax bills have been forwarded from the body to committee. Most of the tax bills survived the introduction vote. There was maybe one or two that really didn't get us anywhere that we, you know, didn't forward off the floor. But most of the tax bills were voted off the floor into the revenue committee. And they've been working those this first week as well. One of those, as you mentioned, was a bill I brought. It's House Bill 45. And it's really been a team effort. Lots of people, we have lots of co-sponsors on that and lots of help to try to make it better. It was voted out of committee yesterday morning, and that bill is a 5% cap structured as an exemption so that we don't have to amend the Constitution. All the other cap ideas require a constitutional amendment. You and I have talked about this before in a previous interview, but this one does not. And so luckily we were able to get that out of committee yesterday. We added a few amendments. The bill as originally structured does not include land in the exemption because we cannot administer that for 2024. There's no way the assessors can get that done. But what we did is we put in an amendment. So starting in 2025, the exemption would include land because that would give our local assessors the time to get that into the system. So 2024, as structured now, the bill would just apply to your home, but starting in 2025, it would also apply to your land. But it would dang sure make sure all of our taxes don't go up by double digits next year. That would be super helpful for folks back home and folks all over Wyoming. There's a couple other good bills, but I'll just touch on one that's coming from the Senate, which is Senator Kinski's bill. I'm a co-sponsor on that one as well, and that one provides a homeowner's exemption. It's different than a cap. It comes from what I call the bottom side of your tax bill, and it provides a exemption of $300,000 per home. And so the average home, if you include Teton County, the average home in Wyoming is worth about $390,000. If you take Teton County out of the mix, the average home is around $280,000. So a $300,000 exemption would essentially make sure most folks in Wyoming pay zero or very little property taxes, at least, you know, for a while. I don't know how long these exemptions will be in place, but probably as long as I'm around down here, they will be. But that's the idea. Get these exemptions. And between the two of them, between a homeowner's exemption, which would provide immediate relief, and a cap, which would keep the taxes from going up, we could deliver some good things for the people of Wyoming in regards to property taxes. So I'm excited where those two things are. Senator Kinski's bill has not made it out of committee yet. It's in committee right now, and hopefully in the next day or two it can get out of committee. Because we are in the budget session and the timeline is so short, your bills have to be out of committee by this coming Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you for that overview. Two follow-up points on that. First of all, will any of those bills, yours included, Senator Kinski's and so on, the purpose of property tax is to raise revenue for services across the state. Will services still be adequately funded, although we'd all love to have, you know, drastic reductions or at least caps on our property tax? Would there still be enough money to fund the services that we want and need?
Yes. So Senator Kinski's bill has a what we're all calling a backfill provision in there, which will take money from the LSRA or the legislature savings account and make sure all of our local governments, local government entities, whether it's city, county, or special districts, are made whole. There will be no loss in services there. Mine's a little bit different because mine is my tax bill 45 really doesn't take money away from them. It's just saying it can only grow by so much, and so that your tax bill can only grow by 5%, and so it doesn't have a backfill provision in it because we really don't think it needs one. And you know, there are a lot of counties that it will affect drastically, Teton County being one, but for example, Teton County doesn't even charge their full mills, and so it's just a little bit different situation over there. But yes, Senator Kinski's will make sure that our local governments are made whole.
Thank you. So if we remember last session, there were also several attempts for property tax relief, I think if I remember rightly, around 2021. And in the end, there was just a very small, modest sliver finally passed. Are you hopeful that this session can be different?
Yes. Yes, I'm very hopeful. I think there's a general consensus down here that we have to do something. You know, I'm going to work on any idea that comes forward so that we can make sure people back home get some tax relief and tax reform. And so I think everybody else feels the same way. Hopefully politics does not get in the way and we actually can deliver.
So it does seem when you read reports and you follow some of what's been going on, actually, it does seem, though, that things are a little adversarial. There is the Freedom Caucus and the Wyoming Caucus and, you know, some unusual alliances where the five Democrats are joining one or other of those groups. What is the tone of the session?
Well, I think there's definitely that. You can tell it's an election year and there's a lot of posturing going on, you know, people voting against things just because of whose bill it is, and, you know, people wanting to take credit, which is just a poor way to legislate. We should vote for good ideas, and we should vote against bad ideas, and keep it that simple. It shouldn't matter whose idea it is, and so that's how I approach all this, but unfortunately, that's not how everybody else approaches that, and so there's definitely some, what I would say, an environment of probably making political decisions rather than good policy decisions down here right now.
And is that making it easier or harder to get legislation passed than it has done previously?
It's making it harder for sure. Definitely affecting what we're able to do and what we're able to get done.
Have there been any casualties that you've been particularly concerned to see become victim to that kind of attitude?
Yeah, I can think of two bills in particular. Representative Larson from Lander had a bill that, would have addressed the minor gender reassignment issue that's a big deal going on. You know, people are worried about that. He had a bill that we thought had general support, and the Freedom Caucus killed that. It did not survive introduction, which was sad because I get a lot of questions about that, and I was hoping we could forward that idea down, at least through the process. When you kill it on introduction, we don't even get to discuss it. And, you know, if you don't like the bill, fine, but at least give us the chance to make it better. That's how the process is supposed to work. If you have some issues with the bill, but you think the idea is generally okay, well then, you know, vote for the bill and we can compromise or reach a compromise on making the bill better, and that's what the process is for. But we didn't even get a chance on that one. I also had a bill suffered the same fate. Really, it was House Bill 151, which was in what we call an MCC bill or Merchant Category Code bill, and it would have prohibited large credit card companies that are starting to do this elsewhere, but we want to keep it from happening in Wyoming. Prohibited them from tracking transactions at firearm retailers, and that bill also failed. And you know, it was a bill that was supported by the firearm industry, and so that was disappointing. And it's probably politics. And so I think we're going to see more of that as the session goes on, and it's unfortunate, but it's just the state of Wyoming politics right now.
Okay. So the week has been overshadowed by what can really only be described as a senseless and tragic shooting of a police officer in Sheridan while issuing something as simple as a trespass order. The incident, I think, you know, it's clear living in this community that the incident has rocked not only the Sheridan community, but people really all across the state. I would imagine that you're feeling that too in Cheyenne. Governor Gordon has put his shoulder behind supporting mental health services, and so have you. What proposals are currently in hand to support better mental health across Wyoming, bearing in mind that legislation is only one small part of solving the problem, but it is an important part?
So as far as the actual legislation, one of the big bills that's out there is to make sure that the suicide hotline is permanently funded through the trust fund we set up last year but did not put any money into. And so there's a bill out there which I am helping on, which would make sure there's money in that trust fund so we don't have to worry about whether or not it gets defunded next year. Because there are legislators down here that don't believe in spending money on mental health, either prevention or treatment. And so that's one of the big things I'm supporting. There's, you know, that one bill that did fail on introduction was a bill that would have provided some grant funding to our school districts to provide mental health services and enlarge the mental health service web, is what I'll call it, of being able to provide services to all of our students. If you ask the schools, they don't think they have enough folks to really handle the problem, and I would tend to agree. And so I supported that idea. It did not pass introduction, but I think we'll see some stuff in the budget as well. I think we'll see some further amendments to try to get money into that realm. One of the things that we're doing as a state, and we just started a pilot program in Campbell County, the judicial branch is trying to work on a diversion program. And when people come into the criminal justice system and it's apparent they have mental health issues, instead of just sending them to the county jail for 10 days, we're going to try to get them the services they need, the mental health services they need. And it's hopefully that's successful, and I believe it will be. There's a good group of people over there working on it. And if it works, we're going to take it elsewhere in the state. We're going to take it to all the seven judicial districts and see if we can't make a difference that way. I've said many times, we have to start thinking differently about this problem. We have to make sure we have the resources to do that. And so that's what I'm going to, you know, I and a lot of others down here take that problem very serious, and we're hoping to make some inroads.
Thank you. And of course, poor mental health does not always just lead to suicidal thoughts or ideation or even a suicidal act. It's, you know, there are many other complicated things in factor, and I think you could point to this shooting incident as one of them. So it's good to hear that, you know, that is being supported at a legislative level. Is there anything else that you would like to report back and let us know that's going on?
You know, not necessarily right now, Kate. I think, you know, next week when we chat, I'll have a lot more updates for you. We'll be dealing with, you know, some different bills and different ideas by then. But for now, the three big things that have really been on my mind, you know, is the budget, and then taxes behind that, which, you know, taxes are really at the top of my issue for the folks back home. And then mental health is just another one I think that's important to all of us. And so those are the three things that I'm happy to report. We're pushing along, and hopefully it can make a difference come the end of session.
Okay, well, we look forward to speaking with you next week and getting another update. I hope you have a productive week, and we look forward to updates.
Absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity, and look forward to getting back home soon, too.
Good, I'm sure you are. Well, thank you very much indeed, Barry Corrigo, for your time.
Thank you.